Hey everybody, it's Christine. I just wanted to remind you all that we are currently seeking discussion questions for an upcoming episode capstoning Season 2 and Act 3 of Mask of the Pirate Queen. So you can send those to heroes@theheidianway.com. Now, with that out of the way, a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, I recognize that face. You're in trouble, aren't you? Well, I'll take you out to the Outer Rim, but I don't think it's going to do you much good. Why? Well, there's a new bounty hunting group. You haven't heard?
There's a Two-Faced Twi'lek and a pugilist droid. If I were you, I'd do my best to avoid the Solonian captain and the Gandroid tech. Better watch your back or you're gonna get wrecked. Riding on the sky on fire, heading to the edge of the empire. Your number's up and now you gotta pay. Running from the heroes of the Hydean way.
Ooh. Previously on Heroes of the Hydean Way, the crew came back to find the sky on fire compromised. Quick thinking sent Billy and Cav up top, while Berwin and Vistrano came through the front door. After the brief but intense battle, Vistrano set to work on the fallen Vrebo, while others cleaned up various litter left about the ship. A bomb, a tracker, and some bodies. Finally, they left Ord Mantell. They are exhausted and broken, but more is needed before they can capture the Queen. More wounds to heal, more parts to fix, more allies to call. How will they prepare for this final confrontation? It's time to pull themselves together in one last breath before the plunge.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hydean Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures set in the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line. Our current adventure is Mask of the Pirate Queen, and this is Act 3, Episode 2. And I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
And I'm Leslie, your friendly neighborhood rocketeer punchy droid who likes to take some chances.
And I am Ren, your nervous neighborhood Dr. Punchy Pantoran. Punchy's just a good word. I'm sorry. Had to steal it.
I'm Brandon, and I play Berwin, Captain Tail Whippy Solonian.
And this Gan's name is Ilan Cav, and this Gan doesn't have to tell the listeners how scared this Gan was when this Gan stood up to Berwin, but don't tell Berwin. Cav thinks Cav was pretty cool during that moment, though.
Also, you're shooty.
Also, Ilan is often on shooty duty.
Yay!
I love that phrase so much. We're such good adults.
Oh, no. Shooty duty. Okay.
Well, I started it, so you're fine.
Well, our audience is too. To learn more about our characters, we get one hero to ask another a question. Today, it will be Berwin asking.
Ilan.
Yes, Berwin.
Boy, I had a question 20 minutes ago, and now I'm just drawing a blank completely on what it was.
That's okay, Berwin, that happens.
It's all those medicines.
It's all these painkillers that I'm on. That makes the memory go a little bit. Ilan, do you have any aspirations to start a family?
Berwin? Ilan has a family already. Ilan has K4 and K5 and K6 and K7. They're all Ilan's children.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That was a stupid question in retrospect.
What about K1 and K3?
Well, Cav didn't build K1, but of course, Ilan and K1 are very close, and Ilan does consider K1 a part of Villain's family, or especially part of the Cav clan. And Ilan just miscounted K3 because Ilan was too busy avoiding mentioning K2, which this Gand still misses and feels bad about.
I see. So, Ilan, you have a family, but you have favorites in your family.
This Gand doesn't mean that. This Gand loves all of this Gand's children.
That's not really what I was asking, though. I mean, yeah, I think you understand what I mean. Like, little Gand? Little, I don't know, pupas?
Oh.
That's a good question.
This game was betrothed once, but it didn't really work out.
How have you never told me you were betrothed?
What? Cav hasn't kept it a secret.
That feels like an important fact.
I wish for...
It was a long time ago. And she kind of left her clan and then Cav sort of left Gand as well, and this Gand has ridden a few times, but nothing came of it.
Astrano, Billy, I know what we're gonna do after this job is over.
I have been taking notes. I shall investigate further.
Thank you, First Mate.
Salute.
This Gand has a bad feeling about this.
Hey, ask Vistrano. Billy can wingman.
Oh, Vistrano is already on, like, the space Google trying to figure out who this betrothed person was, or betrothed Gand was, how to track them down, and how to like, parent trap this thing.
This is probably, though, when, like, at some point then K1 just, like, slides up to Vistrano, slips a little flimsy plas with, like, the clan name to Vistrano, and then flies away.
And
she
then,
knows all about this.
And now Vistrano is Facebook stalking them.
K1 needs a tiny fist that Billy can fist bump.
Yeah. I mean, she has, like, little grabby claws.
Oh, excellent.
So, I'm sorry.
Dink.
Barrowin will at some point drag Billy into a side room and be like, okay, here's the deal. We're going to lure this other Gand and Flutterplume to the same location.
I'm sorry, Ben, but this is now the episode. We are getting into the characters' love lives.
Yeah.
Do you know what's amazing? This is honestly something that's been in the background since, like, day two or three with Cav.
Mm-hmm. How canon are these questions? Because seriously.
Fairly.
I think the questions are canon. I mean, at the end, Illyn can sacrifice themselves in a blaze of glory, and we'll be like, oh man, it's sad that Illyn's gone. But then one of us will be in Italy, and we'll see Illyn and the other Gand in a cafe.
Okay. And Illyn is now the pirate queen.
Or like
gotcha.
A bistro. Yeah, correct.
Okay. We're good.
My face is, my eyes are huge, and if I was an anime character, they would be like pulsing with little stars in them right now.
It's a lot more terrifying when you try to apply it to an actual human being.
Look.
I'd rather not.
The camera pans up from strewn cargo pods in a somewhat dim cargo hold. It spins around and you can see these two people with a yellow chemical slowly dripping off them. They are hanging from a loading crane, and the camera goes out into the corridor and takes a left. As it does, you can see a leisure area and cooking area that is just covered in two different colors of blood. And you can see a Pantoran and a Salonian that are sitting around a Dajaric table that look to have passed out against each other. The camera keeps going and takes a turn to the left and down past the cargo, or past the crew cabins into the cockpit, where you can see Billy just coming through the door as Illyn is getting the sky on fire into the outer atmosphere, and the color of the atmosphere is bleeding away into the black of night as the stars come out.
Thank you for getting us in space. I will not regret our departure.
No, Ord Mantell was fun. Certainly a lot more enjoyable than Seleucami, but it is good to be underway and hopefully coming upon the end of this soon.
Quite. I fear that the good doctor has fallen asleep during their ministrations for the captain, but they both seem to be resting peacefully. And Vrebo is more or less up and about.
That is good. the crew will have a little time to rest, but not much. Let Illyn get the ship in the hyperspace, and then Illyn will take a look at the damage to Billy. Scan is sorry. Scan couldn't do so sooner.
There were other concerns at hand. But yes, let us continue leaving Ward Mantell behind.
All right. So I am wanting to get a... Well, just going into hyperspace, are you... Where are you wanting to go with this? Like, just a area in the middle of nowhere where you can get some calls in? Or are you wanting to go to where?
How long will it take us to get to Alina?
You could probably beat anyone to there. But it... The sky... it'd probably take about a day. And the meetup's in about a day and a half. So you've got a bit of time. But it's also how getting other people there. You know how it is. Adults trying to get together for a thing.
What?
Yes. I think then it'll just be a short hop for the moment. Maybe somewhere else in the system. Illyn does want to get us a little bit away from Ord Mantell in case any more of the Queen's agents are around. Just sort of put us somewhere stationary so we can enjoy that half-day break while we make our plans.
All right. In that case, I want to get a easy astrogation check.
Okay. All right. We see... or our camera is facing into the cockpit of the Sky on Fire. Illyn's seated at the main controls, and we see K3 is off of Cav's arm and is crawling over top of the controls and is plugged in K3's scomblink. So with her assistance, that'll be 1 yellow, 3 green, 2 blue versus a purple. 4 successes and 5 advantages.
Very nice.
All right, so yeah, you're able to come out of hyperspace at the edge of the system. Pretty much able to pull pretty close into, like, in the same realm as a moon at the outer edge of the system. So there's you're not really having to dodge anything. It's pretty empty space, but you're also able to have something to hide around if you're detected.
Yeah. Illyn will go ahead and just at least, you know, put the ship in, like, a parking position, turn the engines down. And we'll leave K3 up front with instructions to sound an alarm if anything approaches.
All right.
And if Billy is still hanging around, this is when Illyn will go in and take a look at her real quick.
Do we have room to do that in the cockpit? I don't remember how it's set up.
It's relatively tight. You'd probably need to go to either the lounge area or the engine room or quarters.
Probably the engine room, because I think that's where most of Illyn's tools still are from the dismantling the bomb incident.
Also covered in blood. Perhaps another color.
Yeah, that would be a third color.
We see, which one would that be? Probably K5, the blue one, is in there with, like, a spray bottle and, like, a little wipey cloth, but is making basically no progress with their little manipulators.
Yeah. And this blood looks like Pepto-Bismol.
Mm. So we're talking Klingons.
Okay, someone else does get the joke. Gotcha. Klingons.
Yay! It's not... It was me. I was the turkey all along.
So that'd be... 4 yellow, 2 blue versus 1 purple for the wounds, right, Leslie?
Yes. That sounds correct. I'm 100% sure.
And the results from that were 2 successes and 2 advantages. So you'll heal up because of my machine mender, 4 wounds and 2 strain. And now let's see about the crit.
Which it's only average difficulty. I mean, that one was an easy crit.
Okay.
Well, it's an average crit.
So again, 4 yellow, 2 blue versus 2 purple. And the results are 4 successes, 3 advantages, and a triumph.
Okay, that's impressive. And one might even say interesting. So
the crit is super gone.
Yeah, the crit's gone. The question then becomes, there's some advantage and a triumph on the roll.
Well, I was partially missing an eye, so picturing the Wall-E scene, you know, where refocus.
you accidentally unlock a bunch of programming that's lain dormant from the B2 part of Billy. And so I go on now a Billy is rampage? Just like much more dangerous.
Where did those wrist blasters come from?
Yeah. Like suddenly you have not just really high brawl, but really high ranged heavy and and stuff.
Really high ranged anything would be nice since all I can do is punch you McPunch a lot. So.
And see things and lie and skullduggery. What do we want to do with those advantages and triumph? Like, are you still missing any strain or wounds? Or
I do still have 4 wounds.
Ben, could we use that to help patch Billy up a little bit more?
Yeah, one of the alternate uses of a crit for healing is for 3 wounds. So that machine mender would totally do it.
Okay, excellent. Let's go ahead and fix Billy up the rest of the way, because I think we're going to need her.
And also, considering 2 people are passed out, I'm sort of figuring that you're going to get enough time to actually sleep and thus recover all of your strain.
Okay.
That I'm not really needing a strain or to get a check for doing cool or willpower.
Okay.
Insert sleeping music.
Yeah, you're going to have enough time to actually catch some rest, but...
I think we do have one brief scene. If Billy wouldn't do this, then Ilan absolutely would, where, walk back through the, kitchen area and drape some blankets over top of the sleeping Vistrato and Barrowin.
Oh, no, I 100% would do that. I would also help clean up some of the blood in one of the areas. Yeah. Before I would go kind of put myself into low power mode. Actually, you know what? No. Vistrana, I'm going to leave the kitchen crusty. Sorry, Cav, I'm going to leave the engine room also crusty. Scabby, as it were. I'm going to give 3B a bath.
That's legit.
Mm-hmm. Get the Lego morph not, more fuzzy and
fluffy
less
now.
Bloody. Yeah. It makes a good amount of sense.
Rest time. Everybody naps, and 3B gets a bath.
Mm-hmm. And I'm figuring about 6 hours later is when everyone wakes up.
I assume that Barrowin's the one that fell asleep first, since it would be weird for Vistrano to fall asleep while doctoring, and then Barrowin just, not doing something about it.
That does make sense.
So I says maybe it was some of the painkillers or whatever, or sedative or something, but... I presume Barrowin's doing more leaning on Vistrano than vice versa. And I imagine Vistrano would just not want to wake her.
I think that's perfect, yeah.
It seems like a Vistrano
but
thing
Vistrano
to do.
But Vistrano's also
it'd be like, well,
so
this is my life now.
Too, that it's just like, oh, right, sure. Flop.
So Barrowin wakes up kind of groggily and then realizes she's been... leaning against Vistrano for who knows how long. And hopefully not doing too much bleeding / drooling on him.
So much drooling. All those pain meds.
Yeah. And so she kind of jolts upright, which may be enough of a motion to stir Vistrano.
I think actually that Vistrano is so conked out that he just flops over to the side
sleeper.
Of this bench thing that they're on and just keeps going.
Yeah, Barrowin kind of puzzles over the presence of the blanket and how it got there. Looks vaguely embarrassed. I don't think the Solonians blush, so it's probably some kind of ear movement or something.
It's a purple fuzzy blanket.
And then moves, tries to gently remove herself from the bench and re-blanket Vistrano.
It's good because it also saves Vistrano him. The embarrassment of waking up next to Perrin, and when he wakes up, he can just kind of slip off into his own quarters and hope that nobody noticed anything.
Barrowin will probably check out if anybody else is awake. I suspect she'll go to the cockpit first and seeing that it's, we're just in space or in hyperspace or whatever.
K3 waves a little manipulator claw in greeting.
Tis I, K3. Hello, Barrowin.
Except for all you hear are beeps and whistles because K1's not in there with her.
Yeah. Yep. Barrowin can't understand. But she feels a strange kindred spirit. Hi, droid. Are we just sitting in normal space? Is that the situation right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Quickly checks like sensors to make sure there's not like ships coming up on the Sky on Fire, then heads back to check the various other compartments where she might expect to find somebody, i.e. engineering.
If this isn't too much later, Ilan's probably still awake. I think Ilan, since Billy didn't have the time, would take the time to clean up the engine room and is going through the ship and double-checking the ship's systems, sensors, engine, shields, weapons, mine layer, making sure everything is still good to go.
I think Ben said it was 6 hours later.
Six?
Yeah, yes. If everyone was... I was figuring that everyone would have like pretty much collapsed afterwards and like done one or two things beyond what was covered in the last episode and then conked out for 6 hours.
Okay, yeah, by 6 hours, I think Ilan is probably asleep in their quarters.
Who has the data chip?
Ilan did last.
Did Ilan keep it or was it hidden somewhere?
The astrogation stuff, Ilan displayed it on K3. It was the last time we saw it, to my knowledge.
Oh, Barrowin will ask K3 if K3 still has the data chip, and expect K3 to respond in a way that she can understand.
I'm just sort of thinking, like, K3 would have, like, one of those small holo projectors, like we'd seen with the clone troopers, yeah. That can just display it near K3.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Like, just sort of come up above K3.
Alina, huh?
Beep, beep.
Barrowin's going to start making some phone calls.
All right. At this point, is anyone else awake?
I think when Billy wakes up, she's heading back to the cargo room to wait for the... Would you call them assassins?
Saboteurs?
Saboteurs. The saboteurs to wake up. Since
sort of like a hierarchy here. Thugs are just sort of like your low levels. Saboteurs are sort of mid-range, and assassins are like good at their job.
It's a tiered process. But that's where she would be. I don't know if they're awake or not.
No, I'm going to go with those two are passed out still.
Okay. I will set up a table and a crate and another crate and play some solitaire near enough that I'm going to be the first thing they see. I, by the way, have not cleaned myself, so I do still have blood on me. That was an intentional choice.
All right. Everything but your hands is blood. Gotcha.
No, I figure it's a splatter effect.
Yeah, well, I'm not...
Billy's a Dragon Age character, basically.
And 3B hasn't licked them clean. Gotcha.
3B's had a taste for blood, everybody. Watch out.
That's the one thing you're not supposed to do with Logomorphs. Never give them a taste for blood.
Alright, so, as people are waking up, do chime in. But... Barrowin is starting to make calls. Right? Who is Barrowin starting off with?
Vinlana first.
Oh, hello. It is good to see you. I had heard some ugly rumors that the four of you were no more.
Oh, we're still very much alive.
That is great to see.
And grumpy. The Queen got a little ahead of us on Ord Mantell, but we know where she's headed.
Oh, and... That is wonderful news. That must mean that your job is almost done.
Yeah, here's the thing. You may not be aware of this, but Y2-2000 freighters don't have a lot of guns, and the Pirate Queen has a fleet.
Well, that is lucky for you. I have been tasked with an assault flotilla, as disguised as a consortium convoy. If you give me the coordinates and a time, I will be certain that they can meet that.
Barrowin will transmit coordinates and a time that the Nava computer seems to think is reasonable.
Okay.
Based on the Sky and Fire speed and position.
With luck, you can form up with them and see to the Queen's ultimate capture. They will be there to ensure that the Queen does not escape.
You just make sure your ships clear a path and we'll handle the Queen.
They will most certainly be able to do that.
All right. Well, hopefully the next time we talk, we'll have a queen to deliver to you.
You'll have a queen. I will have a steamer trunk full of credits, and we shall make the exchange then. I do remember.
Berwyn hangs up. She would probably dial Verin next.
All right.
I'm sure we can just figure out how we want to handle that later. And then probably Nima.
All right.
Here's where I feel terrible for a moment. Leslie, what is the name of that ship?
The Vanishing Point?
Vanishing Point. Thank you.
I'm hurt.
It's been a while.
Even I knew the name of the ship.
Yeah, but ship names are important to you.
Yeah, but I also haven't listened to season one.
I feel very defeated. I'm just going to quit the show right now.
Look, ship names are important to me, too. So do you think it would be a combination of Vastrano, Flutterplume, in that order, or Flutterplume? No.
Flutterstrano or Vosplume.
I'm much more in the Vosplume.
Vosplume sounds kind of like a sort of like German utterance, though. Like Vosplume. Like, it's a little angry. It's a little angry.
It's also the surname a Quarian would have if they were from a ship called the Plume.
Hmm. Anyway, you see Nima appear on the screen.
Vanishing Point here.
That's a good name.
Oh, Berwyn.
Yes, me. Look, we're heading into some messy stuff, and we could use a hand. I can make sure you get a cut.
Well, I think we can be there. Just want to know a little bit more about what kind of situation.
Do you know the Veiled Sorority?
Oh, I heard something about that back on Orn Mantell. It's like a gang or something, right?
Pirates, yeah. We've been hunting their leader. When we finally got her cornered. But she also has a bunch of ships.
I'm guessing the odds are slim. Deck stacked against you. Other metaphors?
Yeah. Sound like fun?
Well, I don't like the idea of somebody like that being around, and I said I was here to help, so I would be lying if I turned my back now.
We know how you feel about lying.
So Nima doesn't necessarily know that, but
I was talking about Nima.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, Mary Allen's right. Also don't like lying.
Yeah. I'll transmit the coordinates in a time.
Okay. Make sure we're there and we're ready.
We'll see you on the other side.
Good luck.
She offers up a little like the Lando like two finger salute and then shuts off the transmission.
Berwyn probably takes a moment to wonder if she has any other friends she should call. But I don't think she does. None of her bounty hunter buddies would talk to her anymore.
So, what sort of preparatory things are you wanting to get done? Because this is essentially going to be the last chance that any of you have before things hit the fan.
I do want to talk to our captives at some point.
All right.
With Billy. But I think that's the main thing Berwyn wants to.
When Vastrano wakes up, what he will do is go on a deep clean of the kitchen to eliminate all of the evidence of all of the surgery, and then go and spend some time with his sort of exercise equipment and punching bag situation, and then obviously go clean up. It's kind of like a futile effort to, like, make sure that he is on top of his sort of physical game because he's feeling very guilty about how much he's been able to contribute to combat and really wants to make sure that he can help protect people. So it's like a montage of punching the hanging punching pack.
Totally fair. I'm just sort of thinking that in the background of everyone's different montages, because Ilan's going around checking out the mechanical fitness of the Sky on Fire. There's Vastrano doing the punching bag physical training montage, and there's like just sort of through doors you can see Freebo doing, I want to say, a Kazuda sneak, like the really exaggerated high knee, trying to sneak past the people as they make their way to the cockpit. So, since Billy is wanting to be there when these two wake up, and Barrowin is probably going to step in there pretty much as soon as they wake up, it's sort of like the, what, where am I? Oh no. And the guy struggles, and, but he's being held up by the back of his coat and shirt. So as they're flailing their arms around, they're just sort of spinning in air. As the other one sort of wakes up and is like, snorts and like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, this can't be good.
You got that right.
Billy will stand up and just kind of get really close and stop them spinning by holding their heads. And okay. Release them again.
Okay, here's the deal.
Hold on, hold on. I was engaged with them. Had my hands on their heads.
We're going to do some dark side stuff back here, but we're not Jedi, so it's fine.
I'm a droid. The dark side doesn't care about me. Nor does the light.
Hello, everybody. Future Christine here. We ran into some technical difficulties at this point, and we didn't really have a good way to transition out of that scene onto the next. So rest assured that Barrowin and Billy interrogated the sorority members. Billy was scary, neither of them was harmed, and we're moving on. Okay, so Ren, how messed up is Vastrano? How many wounds do you have?
I have only taken 4 wounds out of my 15 threshold.
Okay, this should be pretty easy. So then Aelin will borrow your med pack for a moment.
Yeah, so Vastrano will go back into the kitchen on his way looking for either Vrebo or Barrowin because he would like to fret over them some more. And yeah.
And runs into a Gand.
Oh, Aelin, I didn't even get a chance to ask you in all of the chaos. Did you get injured?
No. Aelin is fine. Billy and Barrowin actually protected Aelin quite well.
You sure you didn't get hurt? Vastrano actually kind of reaches down and grabs Aelin by the shoulders and then does this kind of like... turns Aelin and like kind of looks them up and down like looking for bullet holes or something.
And nope, you don't find anything. The last blaster wound they had, you patched up really admirably a while ago. Aelin shrugs.
You came out of that battle the least yes. I'm proud. This is good. Not proud. That's condescending. I'm glad.
Is Vastrano hurt?
Oh, please don't tell Barrowin. Would you actually take a look?
Aelin would be happy to. Have a seat. Not on that table. That table is quite gross.
Oh, no, Oh, no, you're right. I missed a spot. Hold on. And Vastrano's going to go scrub a little bit more green blood off of the table and then sit down.
All the stuff that's still on the table is only visible in the ultraviolet spectrum.
I was about to make that joke. So Aelin just, like, grins, kind of trying to bear it, like, okay. Then Aelin's medicine roll, 4 green with that boost from the med pack versus 1 purple, results in 2 successes and 1 advantage. So that'll be 3 wounds back to you.
Thank you. Putting me up to a 14.
Of?
15.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm squishy. What of it?
No, the pff was before, because you're only missing a point now. I wasn't sure where you would be.
Oh, I know. I was just...
15 is respectable. I mean, it's no 19. You know.
You pardon me for being biologic.
I have 17. I'm biologic.
Well.
Cavus 14.
Yeah, there, huh?
By the way, Constitution is never a dump stat.
Tell that to Jeff Marchetti.
It hurts me.
Oh, it hurts all of us.
So we walk in. It's Billy leading and Barrowin behind, and Cav is currently like smearing like a paste or something on Vastrano's wounds.
Sarna sort of sits up real straight. Preventative measures, you know. No, that's a lie. Yes.
Vestrano is all well now.
Ilan says, putting the cap back on whatever that was and putting it back in the med pack.
Were Billy and Bear weren't able to learn anything?
No, those guys didn't really rate knowing anything.
Cap kind of figured.
Rather unfortunate, because now we are stuck with them. Captain, are you sure you wouldn't let me throw them out the airlock?
Yes. I'm very sure.
What?
Very well. I believe they are deserving of such treatment, but perhaps it would be enough just to turn them over to the Zahn Consortium, she says in the background here. You hear groaning and...
Wouldn't that be the same as killing them?
Would you rather they go free?
She looks at pointedly up towards Rebo.
We're going to figure out what to do with them later.
Ilan agrees the crew should focus on more immediate concerns, namely, how is the crew supposed to take on a fleet?
For once, I'm one step ahead of you.
Oh!
I made a bunch of hollow calls.
To who?
Friends.
Bearwin has friends?
We have friends.
Vestrano kind of elbows Ilan just a little bit, like, don't, that's rude.
And you hurt yourself because you're elbowing a carapace.
Sorry, Bearwin, go on.
Look, when we drop out of hyperspace near Alina, we're going to have all kinds of backup. So here's the plan. We get there, we, try not to get shot while we fly in. We find which one is the Queen's flagship. Probably it'll have a flag or something. I can't imagine it'll be hard to tell. And while our friends cover us, we'll just have to board it and go find her. That's it. That's simple.
Put like that, yes, Captain, it is quite simple. Perhaps we should prepare some more detailed contingencies.
Well, perhaps we should start with where everyone is going to be stationed aboard the Sky on Fire when the crew drops out of hyperspace.
I'm thinking that's about the point where Rebo drops down into the area, or into the lounging area, somewhat heavily.
Rebo, you should be in bed.
I'm here to help. You hired me as a navigator and as a pilot, and I can do that without endangering myself.
And you all hired me as a doctor, and I'm going to do that by making sure that you get back into bed.
Ilan holds up a hand.
Yes, Ilan.
The crew is going to need somebody to be stationed at the cockpit board the ship when the crew boards the Pirate Queen's vessel.
You're right. Vestrano, I think we need Rebo. We can keep him on light duty, but we need all hands.
I will acquiesce to this because I thought you were going to suggest that you were going to do it yourself.
I'm not going to stay aboard the ship while the rest of you board.
Good, because the crew is going to need Barrowin's blaster abilities and maybe some of your tail whipping.
Thanks for the vote of confidence, Ilan.
What? Barrowin is a good shot. Barrowin's a much better shot than Cal.
That's true. Okay.
Vestrano is just sort of looking around at Rebo, who is still very injured, and Barrowin, who is not going to have the use of his arm back fully for at least a little while.
Okay, here's the thing. I don't think I can handle the kind of precision flying we'll probably need.
So Rebo needs to take the helm.
I wasn't really thinking of Rebo.
If Ilan could frown, Ilan looks around, does basically a 360.
Who?
Ilan.
No!
Barrowin steps forward and places her good arm on, or her good hand, on Ilan's shoulder. I've been hard on you for a lot of the last however much time this game has taken internal to the to game's universe. It's definitely not the last, like, year and a half. It's something a lot smaller.
Several months. The scam thinks Barrowin ever had.
I've been kind of hard on you ever since the Doba job. And I'm proud of the person you've become. And I think you can do this.
There are several beats of silence, and we see Ilan stand up a little bit straighter, kind of just sort of awkwardly adjust their sunglasses, little nervous tick.
Then Ilan would be honored to take the helm, but someone will need to take the turrets.
Vreba and I will take the turrets, as long as Vistrano's okay with that.
Billy's going to reach across, just without saying anything, and actually just stimpack Vreba, and then put her hands back under the table in her lap.
In that case, Vistrano?
Vistrano is sort of looking a little shocked, kind of. Just has this look of resignation. No, you're all completely correct. I can't assist with any of these tasks.
Actually,
don't worry. Oh, Ilan had an idea for Vistrano, but Barrowin is a better one.
Barrowin has plans for everybody. Leslie, what's Billy's intelligence?
Average.
Two.
Yep.
And your agility's one.
Oh yeah. I am the least useful person on a ship.
Okay. So me and Vreba will be in the turrets. Vreba, you will replace Ilan once we dock and the rest of us board. Keep the engines hot so that we can get out of there at a moment's notice. And Billy, Vistrano?
Yes, Captain.
You two are on mine layer duty.
Pardon me, what?
You're on mine layer duty.
The mines, they are incredibly potent. Ilan can give Vistrano some pointers on its use. It's not Vistrano's normal area of expertise, but Ilan thinks Vistrano will do quite well in that position.
Also, as I recall, it's technically a mechanics check, so, like...
It is.
If it's not Ilan doing it, the next best person to do it is the person with the highest intellect.
Not it.
Oh, crap.
And Billy's just there to help.
Billy's moral support and reaching things.
Billy's there to supervise.
Yes.
In that case, K1, you will have to be in charge of repairing the ship if the ship is... shot.
Yay!
Billy will reach over and pat K1 in an affectionate, not condescending way.
I believe you can do this, my friend. You have come quite far on our adventure.
Sure. Yeah, I can fix this ship. That's something I can do. Just not used to doing it too much on my own.
You have your family.
At the word family... I have patched all of you up that is within my power to do so.
I'm not offended.
And care too deeply about those of you who I cannot. We need to be careful. We keep coming way too close to things that I can't fix.
I'm going to make sure that all of you get out of this alive.
If at all possible, you as well, Captain.
Going to have to play the hand we're dealt.
Nobody knows it better than I.
At the risk of being unprofessional, Captain... do see all of you as family.
I'm very fond of you as well, Vistrano.
I will lay those mines then.
I'm sure you just have to kind of push them out the back and hope for the best.
Perhaps we
don't really know what it entails. I should have to read an instruction manual.
Give it an instruction manual.
Ah, yes!
We can review it before we arrive.
Yes.
Hey, K1, do you remember what we did about the instruction manual?
I don't have a clue.
The scan needs to write one out very quickly.
Should we go check 3B's cage lining?
Oh. Oh no, we've got pages 3 through 5, and 5 is clearly the page before they start explaining how to lay a mine, but then pages 5 through 11 are just gone. And we start again at page 12, which is like troubleshooting.
And it has a big smear on it.
Oh no. Well, Is there anything else we want to cover, or should we proceed to our final scene for this episode?
Let's do it.
Okay. So, I know it's technically a day travel there or whatever, but just for dramatic purposes, maybe we have that, a couple of different shots. We see, Berwyn, like awkwardly, strapping herself into one of the gun turrets one-handed. We see Vastrano and Billy poring over this cobbled together manual standing near the mine lair.
Vastrano's holding the manual and Billy's pointing at it like a picture in it and indicating like this one.
At a certain point, Vastrano can't find something, is looking really stressed out about it. Billy finds the right page, points it to him, and he just hugs her.
Pat.
And then realizes that she's very hard and just kind of awkwardly pats.
We see a shot of K1 trying to pick up a fusion cutter, and when she's unable to do so, K's 4 through 7 float in and help her lift it up together as a team. And then last shot, we see Illyn walk into the cockpit, have a seat, start programming into the Nava computer our coordinates. And we'll flick on a little bit of music.
I was going to say that there's a data card on the dash with a sticky note that says mood music.
Yeah, Illyn will pick that up and slide it in. Hit play. What do you think the song is, Brandon?
It's more than
I mean, the song is clearly "Light the Sky on Fire."
Oh,
by...
yeah.
Oh yeah. We can totally get the rights to that, right?
Yeah, what are they called in universe? I think they're just called Starship in universe, maybe.
And go to hyperspace.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydian Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydian Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
You can find Leslie at LeslieGS.
You can find Ren at Atomic Firebird.
And Brandon at Blue of the Kin. Or also, if you want to hear me talk about Star Trek with people, at Int Club Podcast on Twitter and enterpriseclubpodcast.blueberry.net. No E's in blueberry.
It bothers me deeply.
It does, also me, but they have a good hosting package, so we live with it. I assume it's as affordable as it is because they don't have the E's.
Yeah, the E's are the most expensive part.
You do have to pay for vowels.
And I'm Christine, and you can find me or Illyn on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 12th Night with a K. I have two other podcasts, D&D 5e Actual Plays. The Glass Dagger, which is currently in its Dock Ward Irregulars intermission series, can be found at CompleteKnight.com, also Knight with a K. And my newest podcast, Omen's Call, a show done in conjunction with Kobold Press, can be found at OmensCall.com.
We are all at TheHydianWay.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydian Way.
Our podcasts are on Apple and Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydian Way, and you can holocom us at heroes@thehydianway.com with requests for more. Oh, sorry!
No, go ahead.
No, it's fine. You can just cut it.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thehydianway.
Or you can donate a calf to us at ko-fi.com/thehydianway.